We're delighted that you're here this morning, and we want to begin our time of worship this morning just acknowledging and thanking you who are mothers, both the people who are part of our congregation and those of you who might be visiting. And so if you're a mother this morning or an expectant mother, ever been a mother, we'd just like you to stand, and we have a little gift for you. And when you receive the gift, I'd like you to just stay standing for a minute, and I'll explain that in a minute. So all moms, go ahead and stand, and let's acknowledge them. We'll do that again in a minute. We have some young ladies and are handing out a gift to you, and while they do that, I want to just remember my own mother and tell you a little story, and this kind of works into where we're going today. When I was young, through a series of circumstances, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, found my brother and I on the way to the dump to retrieve a box of new pencils that had been thrown away. I can assure this had nothing to do with me. I was just helping my brother. And this is the way my mother mothered. So go to the dump and find them. And so we were going to the dump, and it was downhill, and probably had a little too much speed on our bicycles, and turned onto the dirt road, and the bike went one way, and I went another way, and landed on my chin, and split it open, and bled all over the place. And my brother took his shirt off and was trying to staunch the blood, and along comes this gentleman who we didn't know, and he saw our distress and offered to give me a ride home. And I said, "Well, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm not allowed to ride with strangers." And so he left, and my brother and I were trying to figure out what to do. And 2 or 3 minutes later, the stranger comes back with my mother in the car, and she fixed me up and took me to the doctor and got me stitched. And I didn't even know until much later. Your mothers are all laughing, right? Because until much later, I didn't know I'd put my mother in this very fearful situation. A total stranger walks up to her door and says, "Hey, your son's been injured down there. Hop in the car and let's go find him." Well, she did, and I honor my own mother this morning for overcoming that fear and all the many fears of raising 10 kids. And we honor you this morning. So we're going to once again just say thank you, but I want you to continue standing, and let's all just express our appreciation to mom. No, don't sit yet. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. If you're a mother and you've ever had a fear about your children, your husband, the future, then go ahead and sit down. If you've never feared anything, then stay standing. Yeah, we have a whole lot of honest mothers today. And that's true, isn't it? I mean, that's the fear we face. Well, we're going to go ahead and release the Ridge Kids this morning. We wanted them to share that with you. So if you're going to go to Ridge Kids, give your mother a hug before you go, and then meet Miss Regina back here on the back right-hand side of the auditorium, and she'll take you downstairs. There is probably no fear quite like the fear of a mother, and we've been talking about this command of fear not for the last couple of weeks. Our senior pastor, Jack, is out for 3 weeks, just celebrating some significant events with his family, and so we're here this morning and talking about fear and this command, fear not, last week and this week. And there's no quite fear like the fear of a mother or a parent, is there? And I want to illustrate this morning with a little text message conversation that I had with my own daughter just a few weeks ago, and it started this way. She's saying, "Are you awake?" And I said, "Yeah, are you?" Now, the reason I said that, you may notice that the time up there, it's 4:24 in the morning, and my daughter's on Pacific time. So you can do the math and realize it's really in the middle of the night, and Megan is indeed awake, and here's why. She said, "Paul," that's her husband, "was supposed to be home an hour and a half ago, and I haven't heard anything from him, and I can't get a hold of him." Well, Paul's a pilot in the Air Force, and he'd been out flying that night, and so I asked, was he flying? And you know, a question about the type of flying that he was doing. And, you know, she answered, yeah, indeed he was flying, and then a little bit of inside baseball on the kinds of flying that he was doing. But she could see his iPhone, and it's still at the squadron, but he's not home, and so she can't figure it out. And so I very obnoxiously remind her this command, you know, that God tells us to fear not, so I'll pray, you rest in fear not, because I happen to be preparing for this, and so this was at the front of my mind. And Megan, right at this time, right as we're having this conversation, Paul sent her a text, and so Megan said, oh, thank God, he just texted me, you know, he'll be on the way home. And then she expressed the fear of a wife and mother, I hate night flying, I hate night sorties. And I said, well, see, there's a little gift from God, that he, you know, he loves you and he assured you with this message from Paul. And then Megan said, you know, I was doing pretty good with the fear not thing until 125, and then it all went out the window. And you can understand that, right? And I said, fear not until 125 a.m. That's pretty good. I think I'll use that. I'm preaching on fear in a couple of weeks. And Megan actually gave me permission to do that. Yeah, okay, go ahead and do that. And said, thanks for being awake early. And so I needled her a little bit because I get trouble from my kids about the time I get up. And I said, see, you know, early to rise is a gift from God. And she acknowledged that. And we said goodnight. And she went off to bed. I did not. But that fear is real, right? It's a real fear. He was due home. He was flying at night. He's due home an hour and a half ago. And I don't know where he is, and I can't get a hold of him. And my dad made me watch The Great Santini when I was younger, and I'm just consumed with fear. And so we're looking at this command over these couple of weeks about fear not, and we're not trying to belittle fear or pretend it away. Fear is real because we live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, there are real fears. There are physical fears and moral and spiritual fears. The dangers are real. And yet, again and again and again, God tells us, fear not, do not be afraid. So we are trying to get a sense for what causes fear and where we're vulnerable to fear and what to do when fear comes. Now, last week we looked at four causes of fear, the first being just being out of control and not being able to determine the outcome ourselves. We looked at needs that may not be met as a cause for fear. We looked at physical danger as a cause for fear, and I actually edited that this week. I learned something from a six-year-old young man in our congregation who, on his response card last week, wrote down a fear that was really a spiritual danger fear, and it didn't really fit in. And I said, well, it's because I missed something and I learned something from a six-year-old. And so it's really physical or spiritual danger. And then, of course, the fear of losing someone or something I love. And that was the fear that Megan was expressing there. So last week we asked you to be honest about your fears. And many of you were very, very honest. And we got almost 200 response cards just saying, here's what I fear. And they're real fears. Of the four causes, that probably the top one is just this, I'm not in control. I don't know what the future is going to be like. I can't determine the outcome. I'm not in control. That's a real thing. I want to share with you the top five, from five up to the top fear, of what you expressed last week are fears. And these are kind of combined into general categories. So the fifth being my reputation or not being good enough. I just won't measure up. Related, the fourth fear was failure in my marriage or my life or my job or in many situations, that I'm just afraid that I will fail. The third was health, and we know that this is a real fear, that many of you are struggling with health, and for some that the struggle is life-threatening, and it's a real honest fear. And then this idea of I can't control the future and I'm fearful of an uncertain future. Now those are the those were the four runners-up. What do you think the top fear was? Well, it's Mother's Day, so of course. The top fear is our children and their safety and their future and whether they will be saved and stay as a child of God. Totally understandable fear, and this is my top fear as well. And I have bad news and good news for you if you're a young mother or father here this morning, is this fear never really goes away, right? I mean, when they get old and they grow up and they move off, but they're still your children and there's still fears that go along with that. And then they're doubled or tripled because you have grandchildren and they're all added to the mix, and that's fearful as well. The good news is there is nothing in my experience that has driven me to the feet of Jesus Christ than fears over my children. And so I think God uses our kids and uses the circumstances of our kids and our family to drive us to Him and to teach us to trust in Him. So, you know, these are real honest fears, and we saw that those fears really just totally engulfed the spies and then later the people that were at the border of the promised land, and they refused to enter and they rebelled last week because they gave in to many of these exact same fears that we expressed this week. Well, this week in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to take another look at another situation, an expectant mother who is in a very fearful position and the fears she faced and how she reacted. I'll just give you a little taste up front that the outcome this week is far different than the outcome that we saw last week. So we're going to take a really deep look at Mary and Gabriel's appearance to Mary to announce to her that she would be the mother of Jesus Christ. And in order to really understand this, we must put ourselves into the scene. We can't just read this as a detached person here in the 21st century. We have to put ourselves in Mary's situation and try to live this as Mary might have lived it and understand it as Mary was understanding it minute by minute. And so that's how we'll do it. You can find the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And if you have Bibles or iPads or iPhones, whatever you do, go ahead and flip open to Luke chapter 1 and 26. And I'll give you the lay of the land while you get there. The angel Gabriel has already appeared in chapter 1 of Luke. And he appeared to a priest named Zechariah who was serving. And he told Zechariah that God had determined that his wife, Elizabeth, would become pregnant in her old age and they would give birth to John the Baptist and he would prepare the way for the Savior. And Zechariah's response to the angel, to Gabriel, was, "How shall I know this? I'm old and so is my wife Elizabeth." Now Gabriel accused Zechariah of unbelief and he caused him to be mute until the event occurred. And I want you to remember that reaction because we're going to return to it a little bit later this morning. So we'll pick up the story in verse 26, and here's what we'll find. We'll find three exchanges between Gabriel and Mary, where Gabriel makes a declaration and then Mary reacts. Declaration, reaction, declaration, reaction. First his appearance, and then his announcement to her, and then the assurance that he gives her. And each of these, we're going to find some fears, and they would be real fears associated with what Gabriel said. So that's where we're going this morning. We'll start in verse 26 with Gabriel's appearance to Mary. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now we'll pause the story there for a minute and look at this first exchange. Here's Mary, don't know what she's doing, what time of the day is, but we can assume she's just living normal life. It's a day and she has responsibilities during the day. And so she's just carrying out those responsibilities, and all of a sudden, an angel appears to her. And he says, "Greetings. The Lord is with you." Now, what kind of fears might you think of that Mary would have in this situation? And again, we have to put ourselves into the scene and really try to understand this from Mary's point of view. Knowing my own limitations, I actually 3 or 4 weeks ago got some help for this from a dozen women of our church, and I just sent them an email and I said, "You tell me, because I'm a man and I probably don't totally get what would be going on here. You tell me, as a woman, what fears would you have if suddenly an angel appeared to you and said what Gabriel said to Mary?" Well, I want to show you some of those reactions. They're quite interesting. The first one, and this is quite natural, what did I do wrong? An angel just showed up. I must have made a mistake. There must be some kind of judgment coming my way. Associated just the environment and the light and the shock of having an angel appear to you. Certainly this idea of, I must be hallucinating. I must be crazy. This must become some kind of weird dream that I have, that this angel is showing up to me. Some of them said, this angel is here and he's going to ask something of me, and I don't know if I'll be able to do what the angel asks of me. Now, my personal favorite was this last one. I think I would have pepper sprayed him before he even got to "fear not." I won't tell you who said that, but just the image of Gabriel getting a pepper spray in his eyes from Mary just had me laughing all day and all night. But that's real. That's real fear, isn't it? It's honest fear. And certainly this is a fearful situation for Mary. Well, how did Mary react? Mary's reaction was that she was greatly troubled and she didn't understand the greeting. She was troubled. Now, I don't know about you, but this makes me feel kind of good about Mary. She's a normal young lady. This is a fearful situation, and she was troubled about a fearful situation. She was afraid. And it's okay to be afraid and to be startled in a fearful situation, but of course it's what we do with that fear that determines how well we're going to live up to this command of God that we fear not. And we'll see that God, through Gabriel, gave Mary a very compassionate follow-on answer to her troubling, fear about this angel showing up in her life. Picking up the story here at verse 30 with the angel's announcement to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." See, he understood. God understood that this was a fearful situation. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Okay, we're going to put pause on the story here again and just take a look at what happened. So Gabriel starts out, and I think this is just a very compassionate response from God. "Don't be afraid. I understand that this is fearful. Don't be afraid." And then he makes this announcement that you've found favor with God. And note that there's nothing really in the story to this point that tells us why she's found favor with God. She's a young woman living her life in Nazareth, and yet she found favor with God. And I think in a lot of ways, this is just God's sovereign choice. And of course, we'll find out that Mary was a pretty special young woman here in a minute. But this is God choosing Mary for a task. So the rest of the announcement is, hey, you're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to an eternal king. What? You can imagine that response. What? Wait a minute. So what would our reaction be? And again, I asked these 12 women, what would you fear if you were told why you were engaged, that you would become pregnant? And some of these we can imagine. The first one obviously was just the relationship with my fiance. I have this man to whom I'm betrothed, and what about that? Will he believe me? Did God tell him too, or just me? How do I break this news to this man that I'm betrothed to be married, that I'm pregnant, and how do I explain to him that, it was God doing this? So a lot of fears just with the relationship. And then, of course, there's the fear of disgrace in the larger community. What will others think? I'll be disgraced because here I am showing up pregnant and unmarried. There's the physical danger if she's thinking about the law. This is the Israelite Old Testament law. This could be a stoning offense if they found that I have sinned in a certain way, and I'm afraid of that. And certainly there's this idea that, you know, hey, my life has just been totally turned on its head. This is going to change everything. One woman said, I just would be completely knocked over by the enormity of the whole idea. I couldn't even understand it. Many, many, many of the women, this is why I'm so happy I asked women, this is what they said. Joseph will leave me and I'll be left alone. There's no alone like a wife or a mother who's been abandoned by her husband. And I know that there are women in this room today that have or are in that situation, and it's wrenching, and it ought to be a means and an opportunity for great compassion and help from the rest of us. A woman who would be left alone because her husband or her fiance is displeased or unhappy with her. So there are real causes for fear here, that of losing this relationship with a man that I'm going to be married with and that I love, with losing my reputation, certainly physical and spiritual danger of people not understanding the law here and picking up rocks to throw at me, and above all, this whole loss of control. My life is no longer my own. I can't control anything. These are real fears. Well, what was Mary's reaction? None of that. I don't get it. How will this be? I'm a virgin. I don't understand. And Gabriel answered here, and we'll look at his answer in a minute, but I want to note the difference between how Gabriel reacted to Zechariah's answer and how he reacted to Mary's. And he accused Zechariah of unbelief. You don't believe me, and so you will be mute until this happens. And with Mary, there's none of that. There's just a compassionate explanation that we'll take a look at in a minute. And I think for me, the difference is Zechariah said, how shall I know this? And he said it to the messenger of God who had just told him what would happen. And he said, how will I know? And Gabriel said, you will know because God told you through me. And that's unbelief, and you'll pay a penalty of being mute for a while. And Mary just asked, I don't get it. How will it be? I don't understand because I'm a virgin and I can't understand how this would happen. So it's a simple request for information from unawareness, from being confused about how this would all work. And we find again Gabriel's answer to her as we pick up the story in verse 35 with Gabriel's assurance to Mary. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now again, we find a very compassionate response from God through Gabriel here. She didn't understand. Interestingly enough, Mary recognized immediately that this is not something that would happen through the normal processes of being married to Joseph and, hey, great, Joseph and I will have a child and he'll become a great king. And God really explained that to her in this response. Here's how it will happen. The Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of God will overshadow you and you will become pregnant with one who is called holy, and he will be the Son of God. Now, I put myself in that situation. I said, oh, thank you. Well, that's very reassuring that I will be the son, the mother of the Son of God. And so that's a fearful situation. Again, I asked these 12 women, what would you fear if you were told you would be the mother of the Son of God? Well, this is the first one. Man, I'm going to mess this up. This is the Son of God, and I'm his mother, and oh, my word. What if I don't do it right? Very related. I am not adequate to this. I'm sinful, and that which is inside of me is called holy. I'm utterly unworthy of this task. And certainly the fear of being inexperienced or unequipped. You can imagine Mary thinking, why wouldn't you give this task to somebody who's had four or five kids and has practiced some and kind of knows what she's doing? I don't know anything about being a mother, and that's fearful, and it's related to this final fear. How in the world would you mother the Son of God as a young woman? So again, we can imagine great cause for fear here. Totally not under my control. I have needs for being a mother, but I'm not equipped with those needs. And so we can imagine the fear that could possibly overtake Mary in this situation. But her reaction is one of the most sublime sentences in all of Scripture. Just simple, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to what you have said. Wow. How in the world could a young woman in these circumstances react that way? Just a simple, peaceful declaration in today's words. Okay, fine. What you said, let's do. Well, we get a good hint of how she could react this way if we skip down to verse 46. And that's this song of praise from Mary that we know now as the Magnificat. And we'll read it in a minute. And in the meantime, I want to give you a sense of what happens between where we just left off the story and Mary's song of praise. In the ensuing verses, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and we find out that what Gabriel told her would happen happened almost immediately. So Elizabeth was 6 months along when Gabriel visited Mary. That's what he said. And she visits Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is still pregnant. So we know that this is very quickly after, and because of verse 56, so it was likely very, very soon afterward that God had already fulfilled his promise, and Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and as soon as she walks in the door, and they hear her voice, the baby leaps in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth calls her the mother of my Lord and says to her, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken her by the Lord. And again, putting ourselves in Mary's sandals, we could say, how would they even know? You know, I'm just, you know, a few weeks along in my pregnancy, and certainly I'm not showing any signs of pregnancy, and yet both they know that I'm pregnant and they know that it's the Son of God who I'm pregnant with. And I really think that this is God through Elizabeth just reassuring Mary and thanking her and telling her that she has done very well because she believed what God said and she acted upon it. And so that gets us down to verse 46, the Magnificat. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and that my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now, do you see where Mary's mind is? It's completely on God. There's nothing in this song here about Mary hardly at all, except for in how it's related to how God has treated her. And so she has a focus that we can learn from. And let's just quickly step down through this song and see what she does. In verses 46 through 49, Mary praises God for who he is. She uses his covenant name, the Lord, our God, my Savior. She calls him mighty. She calls him holy. She implies that he's omniscient because he understood her state and she understood where he was. She implies that he's eternal because she says, from now on, all people will call me blessed. So Mary is entirely focused on God's person and on who he is. And then in verses 50 to 52, Mary praises God for what he has done, the mercy that he showed to us, the strength by which he scattered the proud and deposed the mighty and exalted the humble. And so Mary is focused on God's protection for her. And then in 53, she praises God for his bounty, for filling the hungry with good things. And so Mary is focused on God's provision. And then finally, she ends it praising God because he did what he said he would do, all the way back to Abraham and their fathers. And so Mary is focused on God's promises. Now, remember the lessons from last week? What did the spies fail to do? They failed to do these four things, these same things. They did not focus on God's person, on his protection, on his provision, or his promise. Now, you're going to accuse me of trying to cram in the lessons from last week into this section of scripture. And indeed, I accused myself of that when I first was studying this, because I said, that sounds very familiar. And I went back and looked at the Numbers passage, and I said, sure enough, it's exactly the same things, but Mary did it where the spies failed to do it. And there's really no other way to read this other than Mary focused on God and what he has done and what he has said. And that's what Mary focused on. And I think that is the huge lesson that we can learn from Mary on how to live with this command, fear not, by remembering these four things. Well, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And while they do, I just want to ask us this question this morning. You know, how should we live knowing this and seeing what we've seen out of Mary and her response to a fearful situation this morning? And let's be really honest with each other. What would I have done in this situation? Would I have trusted God, or would I have been carried away by my own fear and my own anxiety and despair? There's something really, really beautiful about a person who is able to not give in to fear, even though the situations are very fearful. Even though we're facing a fearful world, a person who's at peace in the middle of that is something quite attractive. And Mary is a very attractive personality here, isn't she? In the middle of all these things that she could have feared, she just chose to trust God and to give herself into his hands. So we as Christians, brothers and sisters, ought to be the most peaceful and fearless people in the world. And again, it's not because the fear isn't real or it doesn't exist, but it's because we know the end of this story. We have a God who is entirely omnipotent and omniscient and sovereign, and he delights in us. And so we ought to be able to put our trust in here. Can you imagine how Percival and Loudoun County and Virginia and the United States and the world would be different if we could, in the face of all these very real fears, have a quiet confidence in the God who chose us and made us his children. Now, I don't want to be overly formulaic for this, but Mary had an answer to this. It's just remembering God's person and protection and provision and promise led to peace in Mary's life and can live to peace in our life as well. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you that we are not like Mary here. We are very often given to fear, and we often give into it, and we begin worrying and thinking about our own self and our own situation, and in doing so, we lose track of the great and the mighty and the powerful and the sovereign God that we serve and who loves us. God, Mary was just a normal woman too, and the difference is you empowered her with your Holy Spirit, and you came upon her with your power, and God, you've done that with us as well. We have your Holy Spirit in us. We can live in a way obedient to your word. Fear not. And God, we ask starting today that we would do that through your power and through your help and by remembering who you are. And we ask in the name of your great Son, our Lord, who we worship this morning. Amen.